The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our gardening slot. Pádraig Corcoran is on a well-deserved break after a busy bank holiday weekend at Bloom in the Phoenix Park. So Dermot Gavin has kindly agreed to step in. You're a very busy man, Dermot.
Lots going on for every gardener at this time of the year.
But you're doing your podcast, Dirt, so-called, which is a Go Loud original. And you've recently released a book, Gardening Together, a month-by-month guide to getting the most from your outdoor space.
It came about from an Instagram thing we started during lockdown that we went live every night to answer people's questions because the weather was great. And now we have this month-by-month guide with a section on the most frequently asked questions for gardeners. Gardening is a lot of pressure for some people. People really get uptight and upset about some elements, so we try and make it easy.
Okay. Now, you send me a list of jobs for June. My God.
Well, June is when it's all happening. And if you're not out there in June looking after it, you're kind of in trouble. Number one, well, I suppose there's a couple of main things. First of all, watering. Now, we've been lucky the last few days, and I really do mean lucky. Yeah. We've had some downpours because we've pretty much had a drought in early spring, right through to early summer this year. The ground is in, you know, it's
too
powder dry in many different places. Now, not as extreme as other countries get it. And luckily we have had this rain. But I grow a lot of kind of subtropical type of plants like the tree ferns, and they really welcome the moisture that's come. So I'm very pleased with that. The main job that should be done at this time of the year, and we were just talking about it ourselves a moment ago, is get the hoe out. If you get the weeds, so new weeds are emerging. We built a garden up in Antrim recently. We finished it about 5 weeks ago, all virgin soil, but already the weeds are taking over. If you get the hoe out and chop the weeds off before they flower, you're going to save yourself years and years of weeding. Yeah. So get the hoe out. And hoe is very handy. It can go in between.
Yeah. What happens? People sometimes order some topsoil for a new garden. And then it turns out that the topsoil is riddled with stuff.
But, that's the brilliant thing, Pat, about gardening on this island. You know, our climate is perfect for plants wanting to grow. And our topsoil, unless it's been sterilised, is full of hundreds and thousands of millions of plants that will grow. And some we would regard as weeds. Some are kind of native plants or native wildflowers. So you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that old thing, a weed is a flower in the wrong place.
In the wrong place. And of course, more and more people are seeing the value of untidy gardening and weeds that don't bother in particular. Weeds that aren't, going to be perennial or invasive or something like that. People are more kind of living with, or in some parts of the garden living. That's very important for the pollinators and all the other life that exists in the garden.
Yeah. Now, the kind of diseases that you might spot on your plants, what is typical for June?
Powdery mildew, stuff like that. So any of the fungal diseases, when it's very dry or when it's very muggy, when it's very, very heavy. So any of those are important to look out for. Black spot on roses, another thing that drives people absolutely demented. When you get this fungal appearance and it manifests itself as black spots, you can do things like you can go to the garden centres and you get preparation. Or with black spot on roses, you can dilute milk, just full fat milk, 1-to-1. Milk, if you spray it on the roses, dilute it 1-to-1 with ordinary tap water, it'll form another fungus that doesn't allow the black spot to spread.
Okay.
So we tend to look, actually, I was just looking up the internet because I did something on Instagram to say I was coming on and if anybody had any questions, and somebody was asking about lawn feeds, and I was just thinking their lawn is very yellow. And I was looking up alternative lawn feeds. Lawn feeds you could kind of make yourself. And somebody was saying their lawn was very yellow. Beer or soda mixed with baby shampoo and then with water can be very good for nutrients in the garden and for greening up your lawn, and with some sulfate of ammonia added in or Epsom salt added in. So when, things are a little bit tight for people, there's plenty of feeds that you can make or plenty of things that you can make up from stuff that you have in the kitchen cupboards rather than having to go shopping or ordering online.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the fruit trees in the garden, and there was a kind of a leaf on a pear tree, I think it was, which looked very poorly. The stem was fine. It was full of
sap. So it was
sap.
Curling a
it
little
was
bit.
Curling and
yeah.
Drying out.
Yes.
Kathy said wilt.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it is?
That could be wilt, yeah, yeah. So again, we come back to this idea of watering, making sure, but also in the pruning routine, you want good air circulation. So they used to say when you prune things in winter, things like apple trees or whatever, you want to be able to throw a hat through the tree. So open it up to...
I did prune an apple tree fairly vigorously, and it's got loads of leaves and no fruit this year.
Maybe you pruned it at the wrong...
You got it at the right time.
You didn't.
Anyway, it's absolutely full of leaves.
Another thing that could cause that is we had some late frost, some kind of tricky frost, and just if the buds were beginning to open and the frost came, that could have,
that could have done for them.
Mulching your trees is a very good idea, giving them some feed or mulching them.
Now, Debbie wants to know, can you recommend a white rose to plant that does not turn brown in the sun?
Oh, no, I don't.
I mean, brown is aging, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Brown would be when the flowers are going over. Debbie, if you ask me that question on Instagram, I'll come back and find the best white rose that would do that to you. But generally, that's aging. The other thing about roses would be deadheading at this time of the year. So it's the repeat flowering rose, not like one of the Rosa rugosas that you leave the hips on to produce colour later in the summer and into the autumn. A repeat flowering rose you would cut as soon as the rose is going over, cut those buds out.
Now this one, can you ask Dermot for advice re my front garden? It has no planting at all yet. I'd like to start some plants to create a little screening. It's south facing, approximately 8 metres by 8 metres, and is quite exposed. The wall is at 1 metre high. I would love recommendations on some planting for screening purposes. Not too dense in foliage, not too tall, maybe about 2 metres. I love the Japanese maple, but not sure if it would be suited to the direct sunlight in the afternoon or evening.
I have an oriental maple in direct sunlight. They always say it's a kind of edge of forest plant, and it will prefer to grow in kind of dappled kind of shade. The thing we always say is the plant hasn't read the book. So our oriental maple is growing in full sun. Actually, we have a few of them all growing in full sun. They're doing fine. The thing about an oriental maple in that position, it will only give you cover or shelter or privacy for 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
Also, if it's an exposed place, that might mean wind exposure, and an oriental maple isn't going to like that. But something like a bamboo might do okay there.
Beware of which you plant, because they can spread.
So go for the clump-forming one, not the ones with runners. If you're going for one with runners, you have to build a trough underneath and put a root guard down and make sure. But always the best would be something native, a mixed native hedge. They can look a little bit scraggly, but they sustain so much wildlife.
I got someone to kill the weeds on my lawn. I've been left with what looked like burnt patches. He told me they would go soon, but they're still there.
Killing any broadleaf weeds in your lawn or killing off moss is going to, well, first of all, it's going to leave areas open for the moss to come back, new weeds to come back. So you might have to sow again. And yeah, you could sow at this time. If we were going to get plenty of rain, you could kind of rake it over, take the dead growth out. But really, the autumn would be a good time to put new seeds
out. This one from Martin. I live by the water. I have a lot of tiny weeds that look very unsightly, but are impossible to pull up. I don't want to spray close to the water. Could you recommend a good long-handled blowtorch? The Americans call it a weed dragon, I believe. That's Martin's question.
I bought one. I was up north not so long ago in one of those discount shops. I just went in for the crack with a friend of mine, wandering up and down the aisles. And for about 10 quid, I found myself a blowtorch. And it's the most fun in the garden. It's fairly environmentally friendly because you're not spreading chemicals out. You only need to kind of touch the leaf. So it works on the same principle as frost in the garden. If you damage the cells in the leaf, they will die off. In other areas, people use boiling water. So between cracks in cobble block or in paving, something like boiling water, maybe repeatedly used, will do very well. I can't recommend a particular make of blowtorch, but I can certainly recommend for enjoyment and fun.
I'm looking to get a new lawnmower, not too expensive. Could Dermot recommend? Again, branding It's presumably those, electric rather than
electric,
petrol.
Those kind of fly mow things, they're all fine. I kind of like the old fashioned lawnmower, so with the little roller at the back that doesn't take any petrol. If it's only a small amount of lawn, and that produces a really nice fine cut.
But the exercise is very good for you.
The exercise is very good for you, and I would also recommend leaving a circle uncut in the middle. Mind you, I was down with my father-in-law. I was giving him a copy of the book at the weekend, and he was talking about wild gardens. It's all wild gardens. That's the trend du jour. It's what everybody has to do. So I hope there isn't a reaction against going a little bit wild, but I'd leave a little bit of lawn to go wild.
How can I prevent the spread of forsythia?
Forsythia, it's very easy to cut it out. So it's an early flowering spring shrub. The flowers come on before the foliage. Absolutely brilliant after a long, hard winter. And spread it, very, very easy to get in and cut it down.
We have cats in our garden constantly. They're not ours. Is there any way to deter them? Now, we get this question at least once a month.
I know, it's mad, isn't it? But there's that urban thing that goes around on the road that I grew up on in Rathfarnham. Everybody had their front lawns. And on the front lawns was one of those 1.5 litre soda bottles, half filled with water. And this was meant to be the greatest cat deterrent of all. So you could try something like that. There are other preparations you can get for animals, cats and dogs, like pepper spray. Fine if it's remaining dry all the time, but it's unlikely to.
And a final one, oak tree, 8 foot tall, thought it was dead, but tiny buds on it this week. All the trees around it have loads of leaves already.
Yeah.
Could it be okay, and what should I feed it?
Yes, it could be okay. So I'd water and mulch rather than feed with anything. So mulch around the base so it keeps in. You're keeping weeds at bay around the base of the plant and give it a good watering if it's under stress.
All right. Well, Dermot, thank you very much for standing in this week. Co-host of the podcast Dirt on Go Loud, and also author of the new book Gardening Together, a month-by-month guide to getting the most out of your outdoor space. Dermot, thanks a million.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.